Welcome to the Hillside Podcast. We trust that you'll be impacted by listening to today's message.
Dad, fill him, fill him, fill him, fill him till overflow. And as he overflows, let him overflow with your wisdom. Let him overflow with your joy. Let him overflow with your insight. Let him overflow with your peace. Let him overflow with your truth. And let us drink from that this morning, Dad. We thank you for what you have done in him. We thank you what you are doing in him. And we thank you for what you're going to do this morning through him. And we know that things are going to shift. People are going to be set free. And revelation is going to be obtained because that is your heart. So thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus, for what you've got in store for us this morning. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Gray. Thanks, everyone. How beautiful has this morning been so far, hey? Just the worship, the words. Our prayer meeting was amazing. If you weren't there, sorry for you guys, but you're welcome to join us next week. It's just been amazing. I'm so encouraged by God at how he's just orchestrates everything. And one of the things he's been doing around the world is restoring the church back to understanding and operating as a family, which we've been speaking about for a little while. And that is the nature of who God is. And it's been awesome because we've had a lot of people speaking over the last little while, which has been great. But we've all been speaking around the common theme of family, of unity, of being together, of life together. We've had Gary speaking about diversity and being united in our diversity. We had Lorraine Benn speaking a while, 2 weeks ago, about being community together and sticking together through thick and thin. We had Tan last week, who spoke amazingly, and on the importance of belonging to a community. And there were three statements Tan made last week, which I thought were really powerful. If you want to go get our podcast, there's our website, by the way. So you go to the homepage, you scroll down, hit up, listen to podcasts, and then you can listen to all the messages we've spoken. Cool. Can catch up. But I think our computer's a little slow this morning. Through Christ, we are bound together in a community of faith. Okay. In belonging to Christ, we belong to one another. And through Christ, God has given us family. So as I was listening to Tan's message last week, or during the week, these three statements she said really stood out to me. And I wanted to work from that as the platform this morning. Okay. So often we at church get caught up in all these how-tos, we get caught up in all the just unnecessary stuff, you know, like whatever, like this theory, this thing, that thing, and we forget so often about who we are, what Christ has done, what God has done for us, and the family we've been brought into. Okay. So this morning, I just want to share the gospel with us again to remind us of who we are, who you are as a person. So I'm going to be working from Ephesians 1. If you can turn your apps or Bibles or whatever to that. I'm going to read the whole chapter, well, not the whole chapter, verses 1 through to 14 now. And then I'm going to work out of the Passion Translation, which is incredible. Okay, it's just an incredible translation of the scriptures through the lens of God's ridiculous love for us. Okay, so we're going Ephesians 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. He predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things to him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. How chunky is that? There's a lot of stuff in there. And I actually want to thank my good friend James for pointing me to Ephesians 1. We were just speaking about what was on my heart, and he recommended this, and then I read it. I was like, damn, why didn't I think of that? So thanks, bro. Appreciate it. And so Paul writes to the Ephesians, and he's basically writing, especially the first part of the book, he writes about God's plan. Okay, what is God's plan? We're going to figure that out now. But I'm going to start reading from the Passion Translation. But when Paul writes to the, I want us to just do a quick little cool thing, is when Paul writes to the Ephesians, these guys get this letter. There's no churches, there's none of this, okay? Most people were illiterate. So someone receives this letter from this man named Paul, and they call everyone to come and gather around and listen to this letter. This book had never been heard before. So this is the first time these people are hearing the scripture or this letter to them. Okay, so Paul addresses him. He says, I'm going to start reading out of the Passion Translation now. He says, "My name is Paul, and I was chosen by God to be an apostle of Jesus, the Messiah. I'm writing this letter to all the devoted believers who have been made holy by being one with Jesus, the Anointed One." Okay, now as Paul's writing this out, this is his introduction and opening prayer. So let's let this be our opening prayer. Okay, so let's put our hands on our heart and listen to the words that Paul writes and let them wash over you. May God himself, the Heavenly Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, release grace over you and impart total well-being into your lives. Okay. So this is where they started. They hear this letter, and he says, may the grace of God be poured over you, and may he impart total well-being into your life. And I can imagine just at that moment, just this, you know, and just the goodness of God. So I just want to point out here, in his opening, he's setting the tone. He's saying, I'm writing this letter to all the devoted believers who have been made holy by being one with Jesus, the Anointed One. We have been made one body, through one man, one God, Jesus. We have been united. So this is what God does. Creates us. And he says, I want to reconcile these people to me. So what does he do? God becomes man, Jesus, God with us. And he lives as man, God with us. Jesus dies. He's raised from the dead. He dies for us, but not just for us, but he dies as us. We died with him. We were raised with him when he was raised from the dead. So Jesus, God with us. After he died, rose again, ascended back to the Godhead, the Father. Jesus never became not God. Jesus was always God, and fully God and fully man. God as us, God with us. And then when he ascended back to the heavens or back to wherever, he sends the promise of the Holy Spirit, which is God in us. That's pretty awesome. So Paul's setting the tone here. He's telling us this amazing plan, but it's remembering that it is God in us. You have the fullness of God inside of you right now. That is good news. Okay. So let's go. Oh, and also in Ephesians 4, what does the Holy Spirit do? He unites us. So we have been united by default, united by the Spirit of God that is in us. Let's move to verse 3. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm has already been lavished upon us as a love gift from our wonderful heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, all because he sees us wrapped into Christ. This is why we're celebrating with all our hearts. In the worship today, we celebrate God because he is good, not because he demands it. If I demand you to celebrate me, that is not good. We celebrate God because he is good. He is good, he is good, he is good. And even just before going through the scripture, we've already seen God is good. God with us, as us, in us. Okay. And he chose us, verse 4, to be his very own, joining us to himself even before he laid the foundation of the universe. Because of his great love, he ordained us, he chose us, so that we would be seen as holy in his eyes with unstained innocence. Hey? That is some awfully good stuff right there. We come into salvation because we are loved. This is God's plan. He brought us into salvation. Why? Because he loves us. What do we do to deserve that or earn it or get there? About that much. Nothing. Nothing. There's nothing that we could do or have ever done to make God love us. Let that sink in, okay? I know we hear it all the time, but this is part of the plan. Verse 5 and 6, for it was always in his perfect plan to adopt us. Sky, your word this morning, amazing. For it was always in his perfect plan to adopt us as his delightful children through our union with Jesus, the anointed one, so that his tremendous love that cascades over us will glorify his grace. For the same love he has for the beloved one, Jesus, he has for us. God, the same love that God, that Father and Holy Spirit pour into Jesus is the same love they have for us. Hey? Sure. That's a very good word. And this unfolding plan brings him great pleasure. That's so good. Guys, there's a lot to be excited about. You know, even in this morning's prayer meeting, you know how difficult it is to have hope for South Africa when we do not realize yet that hope is in us. We are filled with the God. We are filled with the fullness of God in us. Therefore, we have all the hope that we need. And we just need to realign ourselves, realign our minds and our hearts to what God has put inside of us. Hey? Wow. From the beginning of time, this was God's plan. There was never a moment that God has never thought of you. This is all good news. And how much have we done to earn it so far? Put your hand like that. Say, nada, nada, nothing. So I have these two beautiful children you may have seen running around. The picture's a bit dark. But there's Riley. I think I've got a laser pointer on here. Ah, there's Riley and Grace. They're my offspring. And they are the fruit of my loins and bronze. And yes, and these two kids, I got to be honest, ever since I can remember, I've wanted to be a dad, okay? Always. I've always wanted to be a dad, especially to a daughter. But I love my son too. I've got to be honest though, not once have I ever had the thought or idea or desire to make them sick, to put them through a really tough time. Never once have I said to my kids, you know what, I love you so much, but now you've got to keep it. My kids don't have to perform to earn my love or to keep my love. My love levels are through the roof, redlining. The way they behave does not determine how much I love them. The same with God. The way we behave, the way we think, the things we do, we could do the most disastrous things in the world. We could kill hundreds of thousands and millions of people in regimes, and God will still love you. He loves us. Since before they were born, especially when they were conceived and we found out that we were going to have these children, I loved them. I loved them. Absolutely loved them. Matthew 7:11. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? We seriously underestimate God and how much we are loved. We need to stop performing and we need to start resting. Because he loved us. He loved us since the foundation of the world. We love him because he first loved us. Okay, there are so many scriptures. Do you want to know how good the Father is? Look at Jesus. Jesus is the invisible image, is the visible image of the invisible God. Jesus is God become flesh and blood like this, man. And everything you saw Jesus do is seeing what the Father is doing. Everything that Jesus has done represents and reflects the Father. There's a lot of inconsistent beliefs about Father God and about God. There's a lot of funny teaching that's been going around for many, many, many years that is not consistent with the person of Jesus. Any teaching about God that does not line up with Christ, just kick it out. Okay, eat the meat, spit out the bones. God's really good, guys. Okay, so verse 7, since we are now joined to Christ, We have been given the treasures of redemption by his blood, the total cancellation of our sins, all because of his cascading riches of grace. This superabundant grace is already powerfully working within us, releasing within us all the forms of wisdom and practical understanding. God has already been working within you. God started working inside of you the moment you were conceived. He's way ahead of the game. God's rigged this whole thing up. He's made it really easy for us. Verse 9, and through the revelation of the Anointed One, Jesus, he unveiled his secret desires to us, the hidden mystery of his long-range plan, which he was delighted to implement from the very beginning of time. And because of God's unfailing purpose, this detailed plan will reign supreme through every period of time until the fulfillment of all the ages finally reaches its climax, when God makes all things new in all of heaven and earth through Jesus Christ. So through meeting Jesus and encountering him, we understand God's plan and desire for unity, for family. God is constantly wooing creation back to himself. Are you part of creation? Yeah? God's wooing you constantly, every day, every moment, every breath, every thought. The person next to you, look at them, give them a nice big smile. They're creation. The guy standing at the robot begging for food, he's creation. Yes, this extends past humanity too. Yes, death. But there's not a single person that God has not reconciled and is calling back to himself. The originator, the center of it all, the very life of us, life of life. I'm going to keep emphasizing it because this is really good. Say it's really good. Preach it, guys. The ESV translates verse 9 and 10 as, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he has set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite what things? Some things. A few things? Only certain things? All things, okay. All things in heaven and all things on earth he has united to himself in Christ as us, in us. Hey? What was the grand plan? Reconciliation. It is still rolling out. Our mandate is to help people realize the truth of who they are and what God has done. That's all. And the moment we start preaching a gospel that creates division and separation, we are living in sin. Not to get heavy on us. But who are we to separate anyone from God and create division? Not us. God himself wouldn't even do that and hasn't. So, 2 Corinthians 5:19, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. What is our ministry? The ministry of reconciliation. There's the verse there for your reference. God was in Christ reconciling. Some translations say God was in Christ reconciling the cosmos to himself. All of creation, every single thing that has ever been created, he has reconciled to himself. Okay. And what is our ministry? The same ministry as Jesus. Reconciliation. That's all. That's all we get to do. Reconciliation doesn't necessarily mean we create clubs, organize religion, political parties, segregations, or anything else that creates a divide amongst people. That is not reconciliation. That is separation. Okay. Reconciliation is the invitation to all of creation into the fullness of who they are in Christ. Every prophetic word that we speak from this house, every ministry that is done, every word that is spoken, every song that is sung, we do through the ministry of reconciliation to draw people to God. Why? Man, because he's so good. He's so good. Every person we encounter with, every person we meet, every person we bump into, crash into, swear at, judge, call names, minister to or love, they have all been reconciled to God. And we as Christians, as people who believe in Christ and trust in Christ and filled with Christ, all we ever get to do is bring people to God. Okay. We accept all people here. Races, ages, faces, everything. Why? Because all we want to do and all we need to do is point people to who God is and to who they are. Huh. We just get to extend the invitation. Extend the invitation. Extend the invitation. We don't need to be worrying about learning how to climb into different heavens and prayer positions and all that kind of stuff. You know why? Because it's really simple. He loves us, I love him, and we love each other. And we welcome every person. Every single person. Why? Because he is good. And why would we not want people to know and meet a good God? Hey? Ha! We all have the same Holy Spirit in us, uniting us. We are all in Christ, and God is in all of us. But wait, there's more. Hey? I'll be wrapping up. Through our union with Christ, verse 11, we too have been claimed by God as his own inheritance before we were even born. He gave us our destiny. Predestination, baby. We've been predestined to be loved and included. Okay. Just sort of throw that out there. That we would fulfill the plan of God who always accomplishes every purpose and the plan of his heart. God's purpose was that we Jews, who were the first to long for the messianic hope, would be the first to believe in the anointed one and bring great praise and glory to God. That was under the law. That was under the old covenant. You know? And verse 13, and because of Terry? And because of Luke? No, because of him. When you who were not Jews heard the revelation of truth, you believed in the wonderful news of salvation. Now we have been stamped with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. The promise that God made to Abraham. This is the promise. This is the promise, okay? He is given to us like an engagement ring is given to a bride as the first installment of what's coming. He is our hope, promise of a future inheritance which seals us until we have all redemption's promises and experience complete freedom for all the supreme glory and honor of God. Pretty amazing, huh? How good is God? How amazing are we? Amazing. God is amazing. See, this is the gospel. What does the gospel do? It frees us from performance. It frees us from trying to climb up into God's lap. You know why we don't need to climb up into God's lap? Because God climbed into us. Holy Spirit. God in us. How can we climb into God's lap when he's already in us? We just get to release him and help people wake up to the reality of who they are and what God has done in them. I don't want this to be morbid, because it's not morbid. God is not morbid. Wow, the light's flashing. But if I would like to extend an invitation to you. If you have not said yes, because that's all it takes, to this incredible invitation of love, redemption, reconciliation, partnering with Him, if you have not said yes to Him, I would love for you to make a response. Okay. And on the flip side, if you have said yes to Him, but have not woken up to the Holy Spirit inside of you, I want to create space for that too. Because Holy Spirit is our lifeblood, is our life. We can't have the fruits of the Spirit if we can't bear the fruits of the Spirit if we don't realize we have Holy Spirit in us. And we do. The moment you believed, it says here, where? Let me go into ESV here. In Him you were also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, you were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit. We all have Holy Spirit in us. So I want to create this opportunity also for us to realize it and start living like that, partnering with God. Because you know what religion does? Religion makes us think we have to do it. We have to bear the fruits of the Holy Spirit. We have to do this. No. Actually, it's in me. An apple tree doesn't bear apples because it isn't an apple tree. Does it make sense? Like, it doesn't bear pears because it's an apple tree. We can't bear anything else other than Holy Spirit goodness, God in us, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's all part of the plan. So I actually haven't thought this part through, but let's just close our eyes and I just want to give 30 seconds for you to respond. A, to say yes to Him. Say yes to Him. What I've spoken about this morning is just the gospel, the good news of our salvation. His invitation. And secondly, and actually leading on from that, once you have said yes to Him, God, I just thank you that we wake up to the revelation of you in us. And I thank you that we will be known as people who are filled with you. Every word we say, every interaction we have with people, we just want it to be reeking of your goodness. Flowing, oozing out of the very pores of our body. And I just thank you for that. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just look up. Put our hands on the heart. Say, God is infinitely better than what we can think or imagine. Can you say that? He is way better than what we could even comprehend. As we learn more about Him and unravel all the nonsense that religion tells us and puts us, binds us in, we discover how good He is. And then we discover later how even better He is. And then even better and better. And this is the unraveling of His plan also, is to discover how really, really, really good God is. And I just pray that over us. I just release that over us. And I just release the stepping into the ministry of reconciliation over every one of us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is not a me thing or a you thing. We don't do this on our own, but we do it by default, by having God inside of us by default. Awesome. Are you guys good? Give yourselves a hand. Yay. That's awesome. So I just want to encourage you guys. That's it from me. Thank you for your ears and your eyes and your heart. And I just want to encourage you to go outside. Let's mingle with each other. And let's just share God's goodness to each other. Let's tell a story. Let's tell a testimony. Let's share a revelation with someone of how good God is. Okay. Love you guys, bless you guys, and have a wonderful afternoon.
Thanks for listening. We'd love to hear your story if you've been encouraged by this episode. You can connect with us on Facebook or leave a review on our podcast.